Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
Welcome to Local Food Connections, a show about the power of locally grown food to connect us more strongly with our communities and the lands we inhabit. The Local Food Connection show is brought to you by Local Food Connect. We're broadcasting from Wurundjeri country and pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging. We respect the enduring strength of First Nations people and acknowledge their long heritage of agriculture and care for the land in which our food is now grown. I am delighted today to welcome our guest Sabi Bueller. I first met Sabi at the Hurstbridge Edible Hub, where she had played a key role in transforming neglected garden beds into what's now a thriving communal space with food swaps, a seed library, sensory garden, and lots of food production. If you want to find out more about that, you can listen to our interview with Jules Jay, who is also a bit of a force behind the Hurstbridge Edible Hub. But Sabi, among other things, is an author and a teacher. I read, shortly after meeting her, her recently published memoir, Slaying Dragons, All on My Own, and then found out lots of interesting things about Sabi, like she's the grandniece of Hermann Hesse, famous German author of Siddhartha, among other things. But she wrote a memoir of her mother, A Life in Two Suitcases, which is a memoir of her mother's migration from Germany to Australia after World War II. And the memoir recounts the difficulty of surviving in the aftermath of the war. And I've invited Sabi on the show today to talk about how, before migrating, her family had depended on foraging for wild foods in the Black Forest. So welcome, Sabi.
Welcome, Anne, and welcome, listeners.
So I think this is probably the first one we've had on, the first episode we've had about foraging. So very interested to hear all about what the experience of that was like. But to just take us back to what year you were born in.
I was born just towards the end of the war in November 1944. So I still have memories which I don't really know, but they're somehow embedded in my being from, some of the difficult times there. Mm. And one of the things why we ended up in the forest was that my parents lost everything. And towards the end of the war, the German cities and villages were just being bombed indiscriminately, really, I think. And accommodation was very difficult to get, but my father managed to find a forester's hut in the Black Forest. And it was 6 miles away from the nearest village. But it was a roof over our head. It had no water or electricity. We had to cut our water from a well a mile away. And in winter, when we were snowed in, we just melted snow for the water that we needed. But a very large part of our life was foraging for food in the forest and in the fields that were sort of on the edge of the forest. And it's quite a magical memory for me, even though it probably wasn't for my mother. It was mainly with my mother that we went foraging. We not only had to collect firewood and pine cones and kindlings for the fire that kept us warm and during winter where we had our cooking facility, but there were so many things that we, the forest gave us, that were collected, and if not eaten immediately, they were dried or preserved for when we were snowed in the winter.
So tell us what sort of things you can remember foraging.
Well, amongst the berries, blackberries were pretty high, and the tiny strawberries, wild strawberries, which I still remember have the sweetest taste. There's no strawberry I've tasted in Australia that comes near it. Wild raspberries, blueberries, elderberries, and young juniper berries, which my mother used in some of the preserves.
So she had jars and things that she'd managed to...
Oh, yes. Yes, we look, whatever, my mother especially was very resourceful with whatever she was given or could manage to get, she made the most use of. We also found hazelnuts and chestnuts. Mm-hmm. They were things that we gathered. And, of course, the most important thing were the mushrooms. Now, at 4 years, 5 years of age, there were at least 8 different mushrooms that I found were edible that we collected. My favourite were the chanterelles, or Pfifferlinge, as they're known in Germany, but they don't have them here. I still go mushrooming in Australia, but there are only 4 types that I would eat.
Tell us what they are.
Well, the ones that I would eat now, I had the names that they were. They're seps, they're the pine mushrooms or the saffron milk cap, the field mushrooms and the parasols. But for my Australian friends, I'd only stick with field mushrooms and pine mushrooms.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm. So where do you go for foraging in Australia if you do?
Well, even around Hurstbridge, though, I've got a couple of places where I go, but really it depends what kind. Wherever there's a pine forest, it's very likely they're the saffron milk caps that you can find. And, of course, field mushrooms, where very often where there's livestock, horses and so on, can be found.
Are you completely confident when you can?
I am only with those 4. I know there are other edible mushrooms, but I wouldn't try eating those because I just don't know them. Mm. But the interesting thing, mushrooming is always very much part of, many German people, you know, on Sundays they go off into the forest or fields and go mushrooming. But it was interesting, after Chernobyl, people could no longer go, because the Chernobyl disaster left mushrooms, the radiation from that affected the mushrooms, so people didn't go mushrooming anymore, as I understand it. We also collected, mainly in the fields and by the roadsides, yarrow, wild thyme and chamomile, and St. John's wort. My mother made up all various concoctions that she'd learned from her father, using these things for medicinal purposes. And I still remember very much gathering rose hips. Now, these are the dog roses that grew by the roadside. And the rose hips are not much larger than the nail in my little finger, but we had to cut them in half and carefully take out all the seeds, and the seeds were used for tea when they were dried. And my mother made jam and a syrup out of the flesh of these. It was an incredible job because the seeds had very tiny little hairs, and they were, if you touched your face or any part of your body, you'd be itching for quite a while afterwards.
And you certainly don't want to get them on your throat.
No.
Or in your esophagus.
That's right. No, it would have been very difficult. But anyway, I still remember the rose hips very much. I remember the jam was delicious and also very high in vitamin. We were very healthy during those years.
Did you have to? Did you ever supplement that with, or did you have to supplement that with other foods? And were you able to get other foods?
Yes, yes. We had a bit of a garden where Dad grew potatoes and carrots. The forester sometimes came with a piece of venison or a hare that he'd shot that we could eat. And when visitors came, and some of the relatives made the trek to this little house in the forest, they very often brought us something that things like sugar or flour. We also went gleaning in the fields. I remember after the wheat harvest, we'd find any. We'd gather the wheat ears that were left over, as well as the wool on the fences, not for eating, but to help us keep warm.
Oh. Did your mum actually spin the wool?
No, or you just no. Kept she lined our shoes with them.
Wow.
With the wool. And, yeah, it was if she made toys for us, you know, they'd be stuffed with this wool that we collected from the fences where the sheep had been.
Uh-huh.
So for my sister and me, it was quite a magical time, but I think it was very, very hard for my mother because my father was away during most of the week trying to find work, and she was alone with very young children and just two very ferocious dogs to guard us because we were pretty isolated. There were still some army deserters roaming around in the forest, and apparently a murderer was on the loose, so it was very difficult for her, I think, but I only appreciated that much later. But the memories of the gleaning and foraging is a very happy memory for us because my mother was a wonderful storyteller, and while we were sort of gathering all these wonderful things that nature had to offer, she offered these terrific stories, and I've loved stories ever since. Yeah.
And this, both gleaning is a long tradition, isn't it, where people can go to farms after the farmers finished with it and just see
That's
what's
right.
left. There was a long tradition of that in Germany?
Oh, yes, I think so. Look, after the war, food was scarce. People had go for whatever. One interesting thing too that I remembered when I just looked back through the book, we also gathered snails. They're big, fat, juicy snails which ended up being put in cardboard boxes and sent off to France for the gourmet.
Yeah. So you gave those.
So we got a few marks, perhaps, you know, from a box of snails. But collecting those snails was another thing that we did as part of our everyday whenever we could go out. Of course, in winter we couldn't; we were snowed in, so we relied on the preserved and dried food that we'd stocked up.
So some entrepreneur has got a little business going there. Straight after the war, someone's figured out if we get some people to gather snails, we can them, package them up and send them to France.
To
the enemy, mind you.
That's right.
So this is how crazy war is. It's just crazy.
It just shows that,
Yeah.
Anyway, gathering snails was another thing which we didn't eat, but hopefully some hungry French person did.
And so did your father find work?
It was a very difficult time. My father sort of took whatever he could get. I mean, there was sort of some attempts at rebuilding, but in his heart how can I put it? He was an artist, a calligrapher, and, he took whatever work he could get, but it's through his experience as a tradesperson that we came to Australia because Australia was desperate for experienced tradespeople. So, yes, it all had its effect. But while Dad was working and trying to get some money for some of the other essentials. Mm. We were busy foraging in the forest.
Okay, well, that's a fascinating story. We'll have a little break and we'll come back and hear some more.
Freedom of Species is a show about animals, for animals, listened to by humans. Tune in Sundays, 1 p.m. Born to be wild.
Born to be wild.
You might have heard about the Community Radio Plus app. But it's only when you start using it that you'll wonder how you lived without it.
You can listen to us wherever you are. At home, work, driving.
On public transport, gardening, protesting, or even in the bath.
Just search Community Radio Plus wherever you get your apps.
This is the Local Food Connection Show on 3CR 855 kHz. On your AM radio and 3CR on digital radio. You can visit the 3CR website and listen to the live streaming of the show and all of our podcasts. Today we're chatting with Sabi Bula about foraging for wild food in Germany and also in Australia. Going back to that formative experience, can you talk a little bit, Sabi, about how that has shaped... Let's be quite specific about food. We know that you're a writer and you've written a lot about all of this history, and you're still in the process of doing that. What about your connection with the community garden and with community and with food growing and preserving? Is that still alive in you?
Oh, it certainly is. Involved initially in setting up the edible hub in Hurstbridge, and that's thriving now thanks to the current team of workers there. I don't do a great deal except pull out a few weeds every now and again, but I think the idea of community gardens is just really a wonderful thing. But I also feel that through Local Food Connect and so on, many people are becoming aware of the value of having their own gardens and also sharing things like food swaps and things like that. I'm involved in that because I feel very strongly that whatever we've got and what we don't need, we should share it. Mm. I remember some years ago I went on a workshop with a Native American man, an Aboriginal elder, and they talked about the wild food that they would use for medicinal and culinary purposes. And I thought it'd be really great if people had ways of gathering the knowledge that the Aboriginal elders and older migrants and just anyone who has experience of the wild food that's out there, because I think there may be a time when we need to rely on, not just getting some Roundup to kill off a dandelion, but finding it as a food source.
And finding a recipe for dandelions.
Absolutely. One of the things that I still do when I visit my sister in Tasmania, we sometimes go foraging. And one thing we've got to be careful, people should be careful, that when you go foraging near the roadside, don't be too close because of all the... When we went foraging, it was nearly 80 years ago, and there wasn't so much pollution and toxic rubbish around that we have nowadays. So we sort of tend to climb over fences sometimes and gather windfall apples and blackberries and mushrooms together there. So, I feel it connects us to our childhood, but also in a way, honours the abundance that nature offers, that we can use that.
Yeah, I can highly recommend to people they go with Adam Grubb, who we've also had as a guest on the show, who does really good weed walks around the Merri Creek and just shows the abundance of food just growing around Melbourne. Again, you've got to be careful because it might have dog wee on it or pollution of other sorts, but there's so much, especially green vegetables, that we don't call vegetables, we call weed, but they're growing everywhere. Do you know some, can you talk about some of those that you know of, like the lamb's ear or no lamb's lettuce?
One of the things that we always gathered was a little plant which has, I know, about five different names. Lamb's lettuce is one of them, and you can get seeds for that. I don't think it grows naturally in Australia, but certainly seeds are available. But the other names are Rapunzel, which they call that in Austria, field lettuce, and lamb salad. Goodness, I've forgotten the other one. But was a great staple and makes, and you know, as I say, you can get seeds from that at places like Preston Market and so on. I've seen it, yes. Yeah. And it grows very well here, and it sort of self-sows if you let it. So that's a really, really good thing to get.
So at your, I know you've got a lovely, you've got your front gardens cultivated at the moment at your house with raised garden beds. Do you encourage those, not necessarily the lamb's lettuce, but dandelion, etc.? If you see that growing, do you use it in any way? Or
not so much now. I do occasionally put some leaves in a salad. Mm-hmm. One thing that's coming up a lot in my garden is stinging nettles, and that's also something that we gathered a lot of in the forest. We made soup, still make soup out of it.
You still do?
Or you know, a green side vegetable. Mm-hmm. So stinging nettles, I must admit I would love to have learnt more of my mother's knowledge about the medicinal quality of things like yarrow and centaury and plantain and so on. I know there are books available to read them up, and it may be that these books are going to be very valuable to us in the future when we can't just go to a supermarket or a pharmacy and get what we think we need. So I'm a great one for, making use of what is available. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So things I'm thinking in my garden right now, plantains growing,
yes.
Chickweed, you can eat, oxalis.
Yes.
Can't eat too much of it, but you can eat it. There's also, I've got some sort of wild brassicas that just came out of some microgreens that I had, and they grow quite well. There's always marshmallow.
Yes. Onion weed is another one that we can eat.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And what have you got actually planted in your planter boxes?
Well, I've got the usual staples, sort of lettuce and silver beet and peppermint. I've got mint. I've got lots of calendula, self-sown calendula, and heaps of borage, all self-sown. I had a bumper crop last year I had lots of tomatoes and dill and various other things. It was very prolific, and I was able to share it with my neighbourhood and at food swaps. But this year I haven't really planted very thoughtfully because it's my garden's overgrown with self-sown things from last year.
That's great. That's good. Yeah. You've got the soil's there, and
it is.
And you've got the seeds floating
around. It's good
around.
Soil, yes.
Yeah. And what sort of things are people bringing to the Hurstbridge food swap?
Whatever anyone's got an excess of, and You know, it can be if they've sort of made too much jam or chutney, they might bring a couple of jars of that or some seedlings that they've raised, which mm-hmm. they don't need anymore. But very often it's just, you know, bunches of herbs or silver beet or limes and lemons, those sorts of things that people very often have an abundance of and don't necessarily need to use for themselves. So they share it.
Yep. I'm going to go to another tiny little break, and then I'm going to let you know where all the food swaps are around the place at the moment. So just hang on for a sec.
Get lost
in science.
Tune in to 3CR every week to hear
Beth,
Chris
and Stuart
discuss news and issues from the universe that is science.
Get informed and learn a bit more about the world around you. Lost in Science can be heard every Thursday at 8:30 in the morning and is repeated the following Tuesday at 6 a.m.
Word to the nerd. You can also download a podcast. Go to the website at www.3cr.org.au and get lost in science.
Okay, thinking about food swaps and sharing of surplus. First Saturday of the month, Bayswater North, Collingwood, Fitzroy, Heidelberg West and Warrandyte. First Sunday of the month, Blackburn, Montmorency, Reservoir. Second Saturday, Coburg, Hurstbridge, Ivanhoe, Muralbark, Willsmere Station. Third Saturday of the month, Box Hill South, Bulleen, Coburg North, Fairfield, Forest Hill, Reservoir, Ringwood, St Andrews, Surrey Hills, and the fourth Saturday of the month, Blackburn North, Heidelberg, Hurstbridge, Preston, Thornbury and Eltham. So Brunswick East has got one every Saturday. So that's a lot of people coming together to share surplus, isn't it?
And it's really great that it's happened again. I think during COVID quite a few didn't survive, and one that used to be in at the library in the Diamond Valley Library.
Diamond Creek, yeah.
That was a thriving one, which was always very busy. But since COVID, it hasn't really recovered. Mm. We've made a few attempts, but it's good to hear that there are so many that are functioning now again.
Mm.
Wonderful.
Yep. If you go to the Local Food Web Connect website too, you'll find that there's often there are weed walks where you can be taken on a walk and shown where the weeds are, and you can also find a lot of other events where people are showing you how to use food scraps.
That's right.
To regrow from them or as compost or as ingredients for food. Mm-hmm. So,
I think these are all things that we've got to start sort of taking on board and learning about, because they might, I don't know, I'm a little bit pessimistic about with the way things are going. Mm-hmm. So they're probably very valuable skills to know how to make the most of things. I think we're very lucky that we've had the freedom to have so much choice and be able to afford to buy them, you know. But I think if we make use of what's around us and in a way honour what nature already provides, I think it will stand us in good stead in hard times if they should come.
And they are likely to, because hard times do come. This is a very strange time in history with so much abundance and surplus and waste.
That's right. Mm. That's right.
Well, that's all we've got time for. It was a pleasure chatting with you, Sabi.
Thank you, Anne. I've enjoyed it.
My name is Anne Stanley and my guest was Sabi Bueller. To find local food-related activities, go to localfoodconnect.org.au. Until next week, love the land you're on, share your surplus and take care of each other. Stay tuned now to 3CR for more Radical Radio with Latin American Update. Bye for now.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.